Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io.
And we're back. Thank you for joining us for yet another episode of the Startup Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Conaway, founder and CEO of Innovate Her KC. And today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. Hiring software developers can be really difficult, but Fullscale can help you build a software team quickly and affordably. And they have the platform to help you manage that team. Visit Fullscale.io. Check out the show notes for a link to learn more. All right, friends. So today we have with us a fabulous member of Innovate Her, Casey. I'm very, very excited to talk to Shay Perry. Shay and I have known each other for a little while. I feel now we see each other out at events and things like that, but I don't even know that we've actually had like a full on sit down chat conversation. So I'm very excited about that. But Shay is a multimedia specialist at Crux KC, as well as an on-air personality at Carter Broadcast Group's Hot 103 Jams. And so has a lot of experience with multimedia action, marketing and branding, and making sure that you are positioning your brand across multimedia channels well. Shay, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it. I'm excited to be on Startup Hustle.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and crack right into it. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your journey, Shay. I want to hear more about this. Because I don't think I know.
Ooh, how much time do we have? No, I'm kidding.
you can take the full 40 if you want. You can do anything you want. You're awesome.
I appreciate that. Well, a little bit about me. As you mentioned, Shay Perry, multimedia specialist at Crux KC and on-air radio personality at Hot 103 Jams. But I born and raised St. Louis, Missouri, so still a Cardinals fan for sure. Hopped on the Chiefs bandwagon, most definitely, when they took our Rams from us.
I know, the Rams went to Los Angeles. So for those who don't know, Shay and I have actually bonded over the fact that we're both originally from St. Louis.
So it makes a lot of sense. I love when I see other St. Louis people. So I came to Kansas City actually to attend UMKC. My parents, they loved the school when I went for a visit, and it was just like, oh, wow, this is the school. So, you know, if your parents like the place, then that's where you're going to go.
That's where you're going.
And so actually I had a really great experience my first time on campus for orientation. Our orientation leader happened to be someone from St. Louis. She also happened to attend the exact same high school, and she also played basketball under the exact same coach that I did.
Wow. That was a lot of synergy.
It was. So it was like, wow, like this is meant, right? The stars are aligned, right? And so from there, I just was like, this is what it's meant to be. And my first day on campus as a student, I met the president of the radio station. And I didn't even know they had a station. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. Basketball was my thing. I wanted to hoop and be, you know, Candace Parker and all those different things. You know, God had different plans, of course. But
how do you make God laugh? You make a plan, yeah. My babies.
Exactly. Took the words right out of my mouth. And yeah. So from there, he invited me to the show. And that's kind of what led me to just kind of dabble more and more in media and radio. And I also had some really great professors that just kind of were there that were like, hey, try this out. And I asked thousands of questions. And so they knew, and they always knew when Shay is around, she's going to ask you some stuff. Yep. And so that's kind of what really just sparked my love for media, videography, audio, and those type of things. So that's kind of where I found that, my passion for media in general. And then throughout my 4 years at UMKC, I was just super active on campus. I tell people all the time, college is what you make it. You know, you can't mm-hmm. go to any place, whether it's a school or a job, and just think it's going to work for you. You got to at least put some type of energy in. And so I was definitely blessed with a lot of people, peers, and professionals just kind of passed the baton to me and just kind of led me down the path that I'm currently on. And so about maybe my senior year, 2019, it's like, okay, 4 years has been great, but how are we going to get out in the real world? Like we got to, you know, I love my mom, but I don't want to go back to St. Louis and sleep on her couch. What am I going to do? Right.
Sure.
And so I'm like, okay, cool. I've done this great stuff. What are we going to do about it? KPRS was definitely in my sights. I knew this was the number one station for hip hop and R&B. I'm like, man, I gotta get on it, you know?
Yeah.
The history is rich. The oldest continually ran black station in the country is major. And then at the same time, I was like, okay, well, let me find another way to get out in the community. And so before I graduated in 2019, I got a call from Big Brothers Big Sisters to be their brand ambassador. And then I also got the job at KPRS to be on air. And so I started both of those jobs 2020, 3 months of normal adulthood, right? And then COVID. Yeah. COVID.
March of 2020, baby. That's when everybody's lives just blew up.
Oh, man. It blew up. And so I would say that I'm a little bit spoiled because my point of view of a workspace is remote or hybrid. So that's my point of view, being that young professional, is I had 3 months of being in the office. And then after that, it was like, let's hit up Zoom. Let's do Teams.
Yeah. Let's try that flex workspace. So yeah. I do have a question about, so, well, actually I have a confession to make. Are you ready for this show?
I'm here for it.
You and I actually share something in common in that we were both involved with our university's radio stations.
Oh.
8.1 WESN where I went to school. I had a radio show. And do you want to know what the radio show is called? You're going
to
laugh.
I have to know.
Sad. All right. So this is shame me. L Train and the Midnight Express.
Oh,
because it was Wednesday nights from midnight to 2 a.m. And like, I mean, I loved that show, but the name, I'm just like, that's going to follow
and
me.
When you said the call letters, like I heard the radio voice peak out. I heard it.
That's WESN. Yeah. Well, I do have a radio voice.
Yeah.
Like I'll put it on for the podcast, particularly when I do the intro. I think anybody who has done like radio or like you realize that you have to be very intentional about how you use your voice.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. But you and I share that in common.
We have so much stuff in common, St. Louis, and then now the L Midnight Train.
L Train and the Midnight Express, baby.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, like feel free to spread that around if you want to embarrass me a little bit. But
you know, and next time I see you at a ribbon cutting, I might mention it, you know, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, so tell me this, you know, you have this job with Big Brothers Big Sisters, you have the radio show, and then you ended up at Crux, and I want to hear how that happened, because Malia is actually, I believe she's been on the show, she's an awesome founder in the Kansas City area. So how did that happen?
Malia's great. And so about 2 years at Big Brothers Big Sisters, I was just at the point of my professional career. I was like, okay, I'm young and I want to try different things. That's what worked well for me in college, is trying different things. And so I'm like, marketing, let's try something. And so I had reached out to a couple of contacts. I had a chance to just meet Malia and sit down with her. We're the same Enneagram number. So that means we hit it off, literally, Enneagram 3. So we just kind of hit it off from the conversation, and within about 30 days I was working at Crux.
Yeah.
And so I started I've been there for almost 2 years now, but I was open to trying something different. And until I hopped into marketing, I really didn't realize that a lot of the different departments and things that you do, deliverables. I've already done those at one point. I just didn't realize it had a name to it. So yeah. Coming into marketing and being able to see how much work goes into it, because it is a lot, and then seeing how the different teams work, and everyone is just kind of, it's kind of like a basketball team in a sense. It's how I look at it, is like everyone's playing their position. You're like, hey, you're the point guard. I need you to pass this deliverable off to the design team. Let's get this website done. And then they're like, okay, well, we got the website done, but let's get the SEO done. Let's make sure we're, you know, using that search engine, and then we're passing it to digital. So it's cool to just kind of see the entire playbook from a perspective of now being in a marketing firm, because I've done some email marketing in my day at UMKC. I've done some different things here and there for my own brand, but to actually see what goes into it is really cool. And I've been able to learn a lot just being here, and my hat is off to anybody that's in the marketing industry, because it's a lot of work, and I see the passion here within Crux of the people that work here behind the marketing. That's kind of what I think that stands out about Crux, is of course that executive level marketing, and the strategy, is important. But besides that, we support our clients. It's not just like, oh, we're doing marketing for you, we're going to pass this off, and then we're wiping our hands. We're beyond that. We're doing marketing efforts, but we're also supporting our clients beyond what we assist with their projects. We're just going to events and doing those other things that I've never really seen marketing firms do typically. So I definitely feel like the marketing was different for me to hop into this type of space, different industry, but I was open to it. And then just kind of gelling in and learning more about what it means for companies and how it really can elevate your brand and amplify your mission.
Yeah. Well, so I have a marketing background as well, because apparently we're the same.
We're like twins.
You're just like 20 years behind me. But so one of the things that always appeals to me about marketing, and one of the reasons that I think it's so important, particularly like with the advent of social media. So I'm going to show my age here a little bit, but I was considered a social media early adopter, and I was a social media consultant before that was even a thing. Mm-hmm. People were like, that's not a real job. And I'm like, I swear to God it is. I make money doing it, and I'm very good at it. But that being said, like one of the things that always appealed to me was that story piece. Like, how do you help brands define who they are, but then communicate that to the community at large? How do you help them tell their story in a way that will resonate with their audience or their customers or whoever they're trying to speak to?
Yeah.
That was like my favorite part about it, because I love stories.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of the through line for your life. You know, you're a radio personality, and now you're in a marketing firm, and you're just, you're helping. And even I imagine at Big Brothers Big Sisters, like storytelling is a huge component of that.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So talk to us about, you know, what resonates with you with that marketing piece. I mean, I love the basketball analogy, and I think that you've landed in a really great agency, and the agency environment is awesome.
Throw that curveball in there,
Okay, the unagency. Mm-hmm. But look, you're working for an entity that, like, marketing is what you do.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're a marketing department that's a part of a larger company that is doing, I don't know, making widgets or whatever.
Right.
So talk to us about, you know, what speaks to you about marketing beyond the team.
Yeah. So you kind of touched on it a little bit, is the storytelling piece, you know, no matter what industry you're in, whether it's nonprofit, you know, B2C, B2B, whatever it is, you got to convey your story, and you got to do it in a manner that actually resonates with people to understand. So I've always enjoyed the opportunity, regardless of where I've been, to help other people. Whether that's me being on air and getting somebody on here to promote their business, or whether that's me getting a small business in with Crux and finding a way for them to partner with us, and we're working on a website, finding a way that we can continue to partner. But that storytelling piece, I feel like, is something that definitely resonates with me, because I've had plenty of times when I started at Crux, I came in as an account coordinator, and then I switched into a sales and marketing coordinator role, which was more so me helping Crux. How I say it is helping Crux market themselves, because of course, as a marketing agency, we have to be on our toes and making sure we're doing all the things. Right. And so that was kind of the social campaigns. That was the brand awareness, working on internal video efforts. That was kind of what I assisted with our brand and growth team. And then now I've grown into a multimedia position because media is kind of my background. It makes the most sense. Yeah. So for me, within the role that I am in now, I'm out in the community. So I'm storytelling a little bit and telling people not just about the marketing firm, but about the history, how Malia got started, and being a woman-owned business. To me, that means a lot. You know, those types of things.
Of course, we love.
We love those things. So I think, especially within Kansas City, I enjoy being here because there's so much story to tell around us. So it's great to be on the team. Where I'm getting the chance to hear the stories, and we're like, why is that not on the website? We're going to figure out a way to articulate this where you feel comfortable and the target audience can understand it. And we're going to put this in a video, or we're going to put this in an infographic, or, you know, we're going to maybe even talk about this on a podcast or those type of things. So I really enjoy that storytelling piece, as well as just being able to just kind of assist and, you know, make that handoff and make those connections.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you've landed in a fantastic place. And for those of you who don't know, Crux, KC, the unagency, they have a really stellar reputation within the Kansas City area, just up for the Mr. K Small Business Award, which is like one of the more prestigious business honors that we have here in Kansas City. And so clearly Crux is doing it right. And one of the things, one of the things that I always talk to people about regarding marketing, like I feel as though a lot of companies and organizations, they make assumptions about what their customers want and need, and they don't create those kind of touch points to figure. So, and I can give you an example.
So I was
in a previous job, I was working with an organization and they wanted to have an event where they interfaced with young high school kids. And so they were like, hey, you know, tell us what kind of products you need. Tell us what you need in order to engage with us. And the problem that they thought they had was not actually the problem that they had. We were expecting these kids. So it was a financial institution. Mm-hmm. And these kids, we were expecting them to come up with solutions that were very tech-based. Like they're all going to want an app, or they're all going to want like some kind of gamification.
Right.
And really what they wanted, like we had all of these high school students who were like, literally just come to my high school, bring us pizza and talk to us about finance. Cause we don't even know how to balance a checkbook. We don't know anything about personal finance. And so we had assumed, or I guess the institution had assumed that the problem that they had was that they didn't have enough technology. They didn't have the kind of like iPhone stuff that kids hop into. But really the problem that they had was that kids don't have a fundamental understanding of finance. And so I feel like people make a lot of assumptions based on their own experience, but assumptions about the narrative that you need to be telling. And so one of the things that I want to know, and we're going to talk about tactics later, but really, how does Crux and how do you as a personality and host, how do you help people find their story, the right story, the one that's going to resonate? Like, what does that process look like?
That's a great question. And we ask the question, I guess, is the simple form. The long answer is when we do have a kickoff with a client, we're not just asking you what you think your story tells. We actually ask those that work there. We ask the customers. So we do a full kickoff and we get the perception of everyone, your target audience, who you think is your target audience, the different people who might be actual consumers, the people that are on the staff, entry level, high level, getting everybody. And then we put it together in a full presentation and just kind of like an audit. Where we go over it and we review it with our clients before we get started on marketing efforts. Just so we can be on the same page as far as lingo. We can get that boilerplate down, making sure that we're all on the same page. Because I think within marketing, the biggest thing, especially I grew up in the social media era. I was on Twitter when I was 12 when it started, and I'm still there. So,
incidentally, I think that the TOS states that you have to be at least 13 to be on.
It does. And I have a funny story for that. I have a funny story about that, but we'll talk about that later. But you're absolutely right. But with that, social media, what I see all the time is message. And it needs to be the same message that's being portrayed too.
Yeah.
You can't have one person that's high level speaking about the company in this manner, and then the people that are actually feeling it and experiencing you are having a completely different experience. So asking those questions and making sure that we're all on the same page so that we can go forth with whatever copy and material and saying like, okay, this is where we're going to go. This is how we're going to speak about this organization. And this is the story that your customers tell. So this is the story that we should be telling, because this is the actual experience. And if you want to shift it, then we can work to strategize and shift it a little bit.
Yeah. You want to know one of my favorite opportunities for market research? I love this. So you know this, but you and I both go to a lot of networking events and things like that. And one of my favorite things to do is like, people will introduce me and they'll be like, this is Lauren Conaway. And then what's fascinating for me is she is the founder and CEO of Innovate Her Casey. And then my ears perk up. I start listening, because listening to how they explain Innovate Her Casey to other people, I'm like, okay, I either need to adjust IHKC's messaging to reflect what those people take away from with them, or I need to go hard at what I want people to be saying, that I want to be telling, so that we can get that, again, that you, as you said, like getting on that same page piece.
Yeah.
And I love that so much. And I think one of the things that I hear feedback about consistently with Crux is the fact that there is so much help and assistance on the front end, like helping people parse out what do we want to say and why, who are we and why.
Yeah.
And I love
that. Important. Like, you can polish something up and make it look cute and go forth with it. And then in 6 months, you're like, I didn't think about this strategy. You know, people, they didn't ask me the right questions. And so I think that's where Crux definitely comes into play, by asking those questions that could be uncomfortable. It's like, wow, I haven't thought about this since I started the company. It's time to revisit it. You know, those are the tough conversations, but at the end of the day, those are the conversations that, you know, help you expand your business, expand your reach, you know?
Exactly right. You know, friends, something else that can help you expand your business is the right tech support. I don't know if y'all know this, but today's episode of Startup Hustle is powered by Fullscale.io. They are a software development platform, huge friends of the Startup Hustle podcast and Innovate Her KC. And, you know, with Fullscale, finding expert software developers doesn't have to be difficult, especially when you visit Fullscale.io, where you can build a software team quickly and affordably. Use the Fullscale platform to define your technical needs and then see what available developers, testers, and leaders are ready to join your team. Visit Fullscale.io to learn more. Now, friends, we are here today with Shay Perry, multimedia specialist at Crux KC and on-air personality at Carter Broadcast Group, aka Hot 103 Jams, which incidentally, I love the name of the station. But that being said, Shay is you're a multimedia goddess. That's what we're going to call you.
Right, I like that.
Yeah, that's going on the business cards, baby. So we were talking about how you help customers find their story. But what I really, really, really want to dive into is, how do you help customers determine where and how to tell their story? Because, I mean, we've already talked about different channels. We've talked about podcasts. We've talked about radio show. We've talked about, you know, there are any number of ways, social media, I don't know, press release. Like, there are all kinds of marketing strategies and tactics that you can use.
Yeah.
It's really overwhelming to the average layperson, the person who's not entrenched in this every day.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that. Like, how do you help your clients and customers identify the best channels and the best ways, the methods to get their story out there?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. And I think it's definitely important in the day and age we live in, because there's so many different type of mediums.
Yeah,
like so many different. Yeah, like you have different social media every day. You have a new app that's popping out and something that's new trend. So it's like, OMG, this can be overwhelming. Where am I going to really set a fork down and, you know, build? And so I think that has a lot to do with your target audience. Different social media, of course, have different demographics. There's all demographics on all social, of course, but different social media is stronger in different areas. So I actually just talked about just kind of like social media branding on a workshop with the Brand Lab at UMKC the other day with Haley Finch. So this is right on the money. But we talked about knowing your audience on those platforms. So if you're a company that's like, hey, we're on the latest trends, like you have, let's use The Source or XXL Magazine. Those are the entertainment type of blogs, type of companies. And so for them, their target audience is probably going to be people that are entrenched with the culture, hip hop culture. And yeah, those people are typically on Twitter, speaking from experience, because I am definitely part of that community.
Well, definitely, like, Black Twitter is a whole thing.
Yeah, it is a thing, you know. And people
are interested in white Twitter, by the way, but that's just personal.
People don't know, like, different communities really live on Twitter and just kind of going back to your original question is knowing your audience. You have to know that. And that kind of goes into just that kickoff, that survey type of strategy is asking, hey, what is the makeup of the people that are members of your organization? Who are the makeup of the people that you think that, you know, are the people that are the members? Just kind of wrapping your head around that is roughly a starting point. Because if you get on Twitter is more informal, is how I view it. It's chill. It's culture in general. There's a lot of trends. We're talking about news. There's going to be sometimes I go to Twitter as my MSNBC, but I'm 26 years old. So that's kind of where I go. Whereas my mother, she's going to actually go to MSNBC or CNN. And then you have people that are going to Fox. Yeah. So it just depends, because based on your age, you do view different sources differently. You're like, I'm just going to wake up and look at Twitter and see what Elon is doing.
I don't even want to talk about Facebook right now. Like, I did not. So when Innovate Her KC first started, like, I did not imagine that it was going to blow up the way that it did. So I was not thinking long term strategy. Uh-huh. I was like, I just want to have a little Facebook group. Like, no problem. And now we've reached a point where, like, I'm finding that so our membership skews kind of like middle of the road as far as age. You know, we've definitely got some young members. We've got our core demo tends to be folks who are between the ages of 25 to 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somewhere in there. 40, I think 44 is actually like the measured number. But I found out, and I didn't even realize this, which, you know, my bad, but like I was told Facebook is for the olds. And I'm like, okay. Great. So, to your point, like if we want to skew younger and if we want to start appealing to that younger demo, we're going to have to get our butts off Facebook and we're going to have to go on to TikTok and we're going to have to figure out like where are the young people?
That ties in like a better question is, you know, the integrating, you know, multimedia into their, you know, operations, but just knowing the right message and the right platform, because the language I use on Facebook is very different than the language I use on Twitter. For me personally, my Facebook is for family and friends. So I joke a little bit there, but I don't say anything too much. I don't want my mom to call me and say, what is this? You know?
Right.
And then LinkedIn is a completely different environment. LinkedIn is way more professional in general. Those are the professionals in that, you know, age-wise, that's a big range. But it's just the language and the tone is very different than something I would say on Twitter. And then TikTok is definitely the younger generation, I would say. It's a great way for people. I've been seeing a lot more businesses utilize TikTok, which I think every business, regardless of the industry, should look at TikTok, because that is, and from my point of view, a very easy way to engage with tons of people in your city and outside.
They do, like, I've noticed that TikTok folks seem to grow very quickly on TikTok, like, amass followers quickly. For me, it's one of those things, it's a matter of prioritization, because I always tell my clients when I'm consulting, which I still do from time to time, but I always tell my clients, like, if you're not going to use, like, if you put in the effort to learn this new system or this new platform, but you're not going to use it because you don't like it or it doesn't speak to you, like, then it's useless. Like, you should be putting your time and attention around the vehicles that you're going to learn, to master. But more like the ones that you're actually going to use.
Yeah. Now,
That being said, I do agree. I have been very slow to adapt the TikTok bandwagon.
I get it. Things, I get it.
It's just another thing to learn.
It is.
I was like on social media when Zanga was a thing and live journal. And like, I don't even know if you've ever heard of this shit.
But I'm learning this for the first time. The
predecessor, like AOL chat room, Zanga.
I remember that.
Like these were the predecessors to the Facebooks and the Twitters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Twitter, I think. Did Twitter come around in like 2008 or something like that?
Something about that, yeah.
Somewhere around there. I don't remember exactly, but it was, you know, it's so interesting, but they continually roll out these new platforms and I'm just like, oh God, here we go. It's another thing to learn. And so I've been very hesitant to pick up the new stuff, even though I'm just a dinosaur on social media.
No, I understand. It can be overwhelming. And I think from my point of view, the main platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram.
Yeah.
Those are kind of, you know, those are kind of like my starting five that are my main things. And I have times where I'm just not, you know, on one more than the other. I switch around, but it can be a lot. So, I mean, you know, especially as an individual, trying to maintain and manage. So my hat is off to you because I think you do a fabulous job of posting. I always know that at the end of the week, I'm probably going to see a photo dump. And I appreciate it because the last two photo dumps I've been included in. So my hat is even more off to you.
Yeah. All right. Hey, incidentally, fun little social media algorithm hack. And I mean, they change the algorithm every day. So, but like people are like, you're so good at LinkedIn. And I'm like, I'm really not. I just take pretty pictures of people and then I tag the shit out of them. Yeah. And like, that's what I do on LinkedIn. And for whatever reason, we have really deep engagement on LinkedIn just because I tag the shit out of people. And I'm like, that is the level of work that I'm willing to put into this platform. It just happens to work really, really well for us.
Yeah, no, and it's good because it's collaboration. That's the biggest thing that I've seen in my professional career. And even when I was in college is collaboration, whether you're at an event together and you guys are, you know, collaborating on something or taking those pictures and then sending and tagging everyone, that just is going to increase your engagement. So like that is a big tidbit that people should do because there's probably somebody that's like, man, I keep posting this one picture of myself or I did a photo shoot and I keep posting it and it's not getting traction.
Yeah.
Well, maybe instead of just posting a picture of you, maybe post that picture and then also tag and say, hey, shout out to the photographer. His team is great. My friend, tag the friend that was there that was on site to help you or did your makeup. You know, those type of things. You really should show, you know, what we can't see in the picture.
Yeah. Well, and so one of my favorite, and this is a tip that I'm just giving away for free, but like one of my favorite this isn't even like really an officially marketing tactic, but I love kind of that secret insidious marketing. So, and I'll explain what I mean. So when I go out into the community and somebody like introduces me or I'll meet someone new and I'll be like, hey, have you ever heard of Innovate Her KC? Mm-hmm. If they haven't explicitly heard of Innovate Her, one of the funny things that happens is like very often the response will be, yeah, I think that I've heard of that. And like, they don't know exactly what we are and who we do, but that foot in the door is useful to me because if they've heard of us, they're generally assuming that they've heard of us in a positive light. And it allows me the toehold that I need to get in and to tell our story and already have people who think of us positively, even if they don't know exactly what we do. And it's like, it's this really tricky little thing. And it's because, you know, when I'm tagging people, I'm showing up in everybody's timelines.
Right.
And so even though the person that was involved was not the, I guess, focus of the post most of the time. And like, but people are still seeing our content because I've tagged this person. Right.
Exactly.
And so it's just really interesting. So I want to talk, I think that you're going to be extraordinarily helpful in this, but one of the things that we like to do around Startup Hustle is talk about the best practices, the tips and tricks that you can use tomorrow or today even. So, I mean, we've talked about know your audience. You have to tell a compelling story. You have to figure out what your story is, and then you have to tell it in a way that matters to the people that you're trying to reach. So those are some things that we've talked about, but can you give us some best practices for creating compelling multimedia content
I mean, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest answer, you know, is utilize the new wave of AI, you know, the ChatGPTs of the world.
I promise you, you just said that, and we're going to get emails that you just said that, by the way. You know, some people seem to think that AI is the devil, but gosh, yeah, it sure is helpful.
You know, with everything, there's going to come some pros and cons. You know, there, of course, are going to be, unfortunately, just in general, people that might misuse certain tools.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that if you're using it to propel your business in that type of sense, then of course that's, you know, a good way to utilize it. But I think definitely that I actually happened to have a meeting earlier today with someone externally, just about some different business stuff. And he was like, look, this is by my source of truth, you know, and those AI tools of just kind of getting some copy together for his website was just one of the things that he's been utilizing, because as at the end of the day, we all are doing a lot of things and we're moving at a fast pace, you know? And so we can't do everything. So when you can use those different tools, whether it's that or you're like, man, I need a graphic like yesterday, Canva, you know, Adobe. And I've always been hooked on Adobe because that's what I was taught at UMKC. And so I still use Adobe to this day. But there's tons of different apps out there that you could just plug in some stuff and like, voila, you're able to just kind of go in, nitpick a little bit, center this a little bit.
That's what I do. Like, I'll use the template that's available. But yeah. Then I go, or like even, you know, ChatGPT, like I'll go in and I'll be like, hey, write a short social media blurb about X. And then, I mean, of course, I'm going to go in and I'm going to make it sound more us and put it in our voice. But that being said, like just even having that base to build on.
Yeah.
Extraordinarily helpful. It just helps you do things faster.
Yeah, a running start is the best start. So I think that a lot of technology we have does that for companies so that they can nail that down. You're like, when I'm working on a paper or just kind of working on any project and I'm just like, man, I'm stumped on this word. I'm stuck on this copy. I just start Googling stuff and try to inspire myself and say, hey, what's a synonym for this? Just so I can get my brain flowing. So I feel like using the different tools, it does the exact same thing, whether it's graphics, whether it's words, or, you know, even video.
Sometimes I do, like, I actually do, so sometimes I'll do something called wiki flipping, where, like, I go into Wikipedia and I'll just, like, start hitting random links, because that's really fun for me. But sometimes that's inspiration. Sometimes I'll just pull up a thesaurus, and, like, if I have a word in my head, I'll just look at, like, the words that are associated. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm trying to get into my creative brain, like, sometimes the most random stuff can serve as inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I think that AI can definitely be a part of that, for sure.
Yeah.
Creating compelling content, like one of the things that I always respond well to is those slick, shiny, fancy graphics. And that's, I think that that's just because I have like a marketing background. And so of course it's like, if you're a party planner and you go to a party, you're just judging, you know, like.
Definitely. That is me all day.
But so one of the things that I want to talk about is like that perfect being the enemy of progress thing. Like, what if you're an organization that doesn't have like a really huge marketing budget and doesn't have a lot of time? Like if you're a solopreneur or if you are a co-founder in a startup, what are some other ways that you can make this work easier for yourself? Because I that's what we're all about. Let's make it as easy as we can.
Yeah.
But still keep that quality. Like, do you think that you need to have the shiniest, fanciest graphics in order to appeal to your audience?
No, I don't. I think you can manage, you know, and even then, like I mentioned earlier, you can have the pretty graphic, but then when you get somewhere, you can just tell it's not organized, you know? So it's like, yeah, you pull people in by this graphic, but then we got here and experienced it. And we're not going to remember that graphic. We're going to remember the experience. The saying always goes, you know, you might have forgot what someone said to you, but you never forget how they made you feel.
That's Dr. Maya Angelou. Oh my gosh. I love that quote so much.
Great. And so with that, I think creating an overall experience is way more important than a fancy flyer. You know, and if you have the team to put the flyer together, that's great. But I do understand being being an entrepreneur myself, you don't have time always. And sometimes I'm working on projects myself and I'm like, this flyer isn't cutting it. Like, it's not bad. I'm like, this isn't bad, but it's not doing it for me. Do I want to just put this out because I'm pressed for time? And so that's where you come to as a, you know, entrepreneur. You come to that point where you do have to make that decision. What do you want your brand to speak to? Like, do you want your brand to, you know, are you okay with just putting this out? Do you think it'd be okay? Because I mean, it depending upon your industry, I do think that the bar is set differently too for different industries, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if you're throwing an event and it's your nightlife is your thing. Well, maybe your flyer, you know, if you have pool and there's a lot of people that are already RSVP'd, then maybe your flyer being the grandest is not necessary because you have the pool, you know? So I think people should all know their strengths when it comes to that, just knowing what you bring to the table and knowing like, okay, let me call on my one friend, you know, and say, hey, I need your help. You know, you got the pretty flyer, but you're like, look, I don't think anybody's coming to my event because no one's heard about it because I'm never on social media. Then call that friend and try to, you know, and just kind of pull them in and loop them in. Collaboration is the biggest thing that I've done in my professional career, is just reaching out to people, because if I don't know, someone else probably does. And if they don't know, they probably know somebody who might. So we're just going to keep going. And that's kind of
that network relationship building piece. Like, that's all, it seems like it always goes back to that. Yeah. Well, so another thing that I kind of want to mention, you know, I love testing. Like, one of my favorite things to do is like, okay, let's do the A/B testing thing. Let's do the beta testing thing. And so I would say that, like, if you are confused about what your brand is trying to say and what you want it to say, when you're trying to make those two things come into alignment, sometimes you're gonna fail. Like, you're gonna try things and it's not gonna resonate and it's not gonna work. And track that shit. Exactly. Like, you know, make sure, like, if you're sending out emails and, you know, send out a couple of different kinds of emails to different segments of your base and, like, figure out, all right, this one performed better. This is a headline. So maybe future headlines, we kind of base off of that and understand that this is a process. Like, I had so many clients who would come to me and they would be upset that I did not get immediate results within like a couple of weeks. And, like, we're playing the long game here.
Exactly.
Like, if you want to attract people who are going to become the brand ambassadors and the fanatics, the fans who are going to be sharing your brand story, like, if you want to create loyal customers and clientele, you're going to have to figure out follow the process, like, try things, understand that they're not all going to work, but people would, like, come to me and be like, how come I don't have 10,000 Instagram followers? And it's like, it's been a couple of weeks. And if I were to get you 10,000 Instagram followers in 2 weeks, I promise you, they're not the kind of followers that you want. They're going to be people who don't care about what you have to offer, and you're going to be shooting yourself in the foot for the long game. Please play the long game.
You really just should. I think that's the best way, because I mean, unless you have something that just happens and you blow up overnight, you still have to keep up with that, you know. It's not gonna continue to last. You got to keep that fire. It is the long game. And I think sometimes we do get, as you know, just humans, we get anxious, especially if we have something that is our project or our company that might be our baby. We're like, I want this to happen and it should have happened last year. Why is it not happening? Why am I not at 3 million yet? You know, I've been sitting at 1 million, I've been stuck there, whatever. It's like, you do have to put strategies in place. And sometimes we start, you know, as a startup company, if you're starting up a company, if you're just like, look, I'm just in my mom's basement, I'm getting this thing started, it's easy to just be like, this is where I want to go, and I'm just doing stuff with no strategy, you know. I'm just gonna post this every now and then. But once you kind of grow, you're like, I'm getting some good traction, but now I actually need that strategy. Like, everything always lead back to having some structure and strategy at the end of the day.
Exactly. Well, so I love that. And I have been anxiously awaiting asking you the human question for quite, because I'm really, really excited to hear your response. Are you ready, Shay?
I am ready for it.
Okay. So my question is, what do you daydream about?
What do I daydream about?
Yeah, you've got some time on your schedule, or you're waiting for something to download or render, and you're just kind of thinking to yourself, what's crossing your mind? I mean, usually food, but that's
No, that's that, and that's crossing my mind somewhere in that. I think I'll say right now, because I've had this conversation a couple times, not about the daydreaming, but yeah. About what I should do. So I've been trying to plan vacation. So I think what's on my little daydream mind is me just, I don't know if it's a beach. I don't know if it's, I don't know where it's going.
You do feel very beachy to me. And I don't know why that is, but like, I totally envision you some umbrella drink on a beach. I can see it.
A little pina colada or something, you know, yeah. Extra shot of, you know, tequila or something like that in there. But yeah, I think that's kind of like where I'm at right now is I've been putting in some great work. I've been enjoying the work, which makes it harder to step away, of course. So sure. I think just trying to find a little bit of time to just kind of kick back and relax and just actually be in the present and just look at everything that I've been able to just kind of be blessed with in the course of the last 4 years. I'm going on 4 years since I graduated. So to feel like I accomplished some stuff, just sitting down and relaxing and not thinking about anything other than the now.
So are you daydreaming to have the opportunity to daydream even more?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Oh my gosh, I love it. You're so meta.
Definitely.
All right. Well, friends, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, Shay. I always love seeing you out. You have such a good vibe and energy, and I just knew that this was going to be a fun time. So thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time. I appreciate the human question. It was fun.
All right. Well, that is wonderful. Something else fun, I don't know if you heard, but if you are looking to hire software engineers, testers, or leaders, FullScale can help. They have the people and the platform to help you build and manage a team of experts. When you visit fullscale.io, all you need to do is answer a few questions and then let the platform match you up with fully vetted, highly experienced software engineers, testers, and leaders. At FullScale, they specialize in building long-term teams that work only for you. Learn more when you visit fullscale.io. And friends, I do this all the time. First, I want to thank you for coming back to listen to us week after week. I do believe we recently hit 5 million downloads. And it is all because of individuals like you who take time out of their busy schedule to come and listen to the founder stories that we tell in Startup Hustle. We are very grateful. Don't hesitate to reach out if you have suggestions for guests or if you have topics that you want to hear about. You can suggest a guest or give us your feedback at startuphustle.xyz. Also check the show notes for a link. But keep on coming back. We are very, very grateful for you, and we will catch you next time.
Startup Hustle's brought to you by FullScale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time. We do it.